Good afternoon. We're here from Partick Free Church of Scotland, continuing. And we meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace, just off Dumbarton Road. We meet on the Lord's Day, Sunday, at 11 a.m. and again at 6:30 p.m. along with our midweek meeting Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. And we would wish you all a warm welcome to our service. Come along, you'll hear something concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the person of Christ and the work of Christ. And this is the most important thing that you can consider in these days. Many people today simply dismiss the Word of God. They pay no attention to it. And very often they simply pick up what others say about the Word of God. They say it's old, it's out of date. They say it's past its sell-by date. But very often they've never read the Bible themselves. They're simply listening to the opinions of others. We would urge you, friends, to take up your Bibles and read them. Because the Bible is God's final word to mankind. It is God speaking to mankind. It is God telling mankind of the way of salvation. It is God telling us the way to be right with Him through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And this is our greatest problem. Christ has addressed it. Our greatest problem is sin. We don't like to hear about this, especially when we talk about our own personal sin. But we cannot avoid this most fundamental of issues. And we must be confronted with our sin. And we must have our sins forgiven in order to be reconciled to God. And the only way for that to happen is for us to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. To believe upon what He has done on Calvary Street. To believe that He is the only begotten Son of God. That He is the only mediator between God and man. And that He is the one through His life and death and resurrection has provided a way of escape and a way by where our sins might be forgiven. And very often, friends, we have a very bad view of God. But what does the Bible say about God? The Bible says, this is what God would have us know about Himself. As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? And there we see something of the character of the God of the Bible. He is one who likes to forgive. He does not in any sense delight in the death of the wicked. Instead, He wants us to be reconciled to Him. And the only way that we can be reconciled to Him is through believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you may well say, but why do I need to be saved? I'm not a bad person. Surely I don't need to be saved. It's all right maybe for the murderer or the rapist or for the paedophile. He needs to be saved, but not me. I'm perfectly all right. I don't need to be saved. I don't know what you're talking about. The Bible tells us, friends, it teaches us clearly that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let us read one or two verses from Romans chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul outlines the state of mankind. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That was a picture of mankind 2,000 years ago. That is a very up-to-date picture of mankind in 2021. The Bible is able to discern us. God knows exactly what we're like. And He makes a case here for the fact that we are sinful in His sight. And that's why we need to be saved. And the only way we can be saved is through believing upon the Lord Jesus, because He is the one who suffered and died for sinners. You see, when Christ came, He came with a purpose, with a mission. He said, "I did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." On another occasion, He said, "I have not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And we find a wonderful illustration of what it means to be saved when we go to the Bible. We find there Christ on the cross, suffering and dying. What was He doing? He was situated between two thieves. Thieves who had been sentenced to death because of their crime. It's very likely that they committed more than simply theft. It would seem that they were murderers also. Otherwise they would not have been crucified. But there on the cross, Jesus was there in the middle. And two thieves, one on either side. And during the crucifixion, both of these thieves began to rail upon Christ. They began to accuse Him and to be scornful to Him. But during the crucifixion, one man changed. One man changed his mind. One of the thieves began to look upon the Lord Jesus. And when the other thief continued to rail upon Christ, the thief said to Him, "Dost thou not fear God, knowing that we are in the same condemnation?" And he turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and said to Him, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." What did Jesus say to this thief? What did Jesus say to this criminal who deserved to die for his crime? Did Jesus say, "Forget it, it's too late"? Did Jesus say, "Get away from me"? No, what Jesus said to him was, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Here was a man who was about to die a most cruel death. And he was suffering because he was a criminal, a thief and a murderer and a robber. And he turned to the Lord Jesus moments before he died. And he got a wonderful assurance that he would be reconciled to God and that he would be in paradise with the Lord Jesus Christ. There we see the power of the Lord Jesus to save. And there we see the willingness of Jesus to save. Even this desperate character, even this person that we would write off, even this person whom we would say there's no hope for him, yet when he turned to the Lord Jesus, Christ gave him these wonderful words, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." You know, there were many people witnessing the crucifixion, and many people were shouting and bawling at the Lord Jesus. He took no notice of them, but when the penitent thief turned, he took notice of his cry and heard it and answered and give that man a wonderful assurance that he was saved and that he would be in paradise even that day. This tells us, friends, of the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ to receive sinners. What must we do to come to Christ? We must turn our backs upon our lives. We must repent and believe the gospel. We must turn from our sinful ways. We must have a new view concerning Christ. We must look upon Him as He is, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. We must recognize that He is God's answer to our greatest need. He alone is able to save us. We must recognize His unique role. And we must put our faith and trust upon Him. In short, friends, we must repent and we must believe the gospel. Jesus has not changed. He is still seeking to save that which was lost. And even today, as you pass by here and you're hearing something, however slight, you're hearing something of Christ, and surely you must hear of His willingness to save, that He's willing to save to the very uttermost. We're grateful for Him. We're grateful for Him, and we're grateful for the encouragement we receive also. For He is able to save to the uttermost those that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. You know, Christ did suffer, and He did die, and He was taken down from the cross dead, and He was put in a tomb, in a sealed tomb. And there was a Roman guard set over the tomb. But on the third day, Christ rose. Death itself could not hold the Lord Jesus. And this is the Savior you are to put your faith and hope and trust upon. You're not putting your faith and trust upon a man or upon a church. You're putting your faith and trust upon the God-man, the one who did suffer and die, but the one who rose victorious over the grave. And this would remind us too that there is life after death. There's many people today who take comfort in the fact, or they say the fact, that when you die, life is all over. It comes to an end. There's no life after death. But the resurrection of the Lord Jesus guarantees that there is life after death. And many people don't believe this, but we issue a challenge to you. If you don't believe that there's life after death, if you don't believe the resurrection, take me then to the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. Show me His body. Show me His dust. Show me His tomb. You cannot do it. Why not? Because He's not there. He is risen. And this is the very cardinal truth of Christianity. We don't worship a dead Jesus. We don't worship a Jesus who's in a crib, or who's on a cross, or who's in a tomb. We worship Jesus who has risen and exalted, and who now sits at God's right hand, waiting for that day when He shall return in power and in glory. Behold, He cometh in the clouds, and every eye shall see Him, even those that pierced Him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail and mourn because of Him. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Today, this afternoon, we want to draw your attention to this person, that you too might put your faith and hope and trust upon Him, and that you would know the joy of your sins forgiven, that you might be reconciled to God, that you might know and have a peaceful conscience, that the burden of sin that you carry with you day after day might be taken from you, and that you would know peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is available to all who will call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. We're here from Partick, Free Church of Scotland continuing. And we're going to call it a day this afternoon. It's been good to be here. It's been good to be able to publicly testify to Christ and to exhort you to come and to call upon Him for yourselves, that you might know Him, whom to know is life everlasting. May the Lord be pleased to bless His word to you this afternoon.